Desire God's love, then His word will be perfected in us. If we desire God's love, then His word will be perfected in us. We hear much about Romans 10:17 that faith comes by hearing the word, but we're also told that our faith worketh by love. And if we desire to have a strong faith, a faith that you are hearing in your heart, then it has to come by God's love. You can't separate any of this. And this, of course, again, is where a lot of the faith teaching fell down short. They wanted the word, and they were very hot on the fact that faith comes by hearing the word of God, reading the word of God, which indeed it does. But they failed and they lacked to see that none of this can be accomplished except this is done by God's love and desiring God's love and walking in that love. And we're going to base this today from 1 John chapter 2 verse 5. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 5. And really, this, what John is speaking about here in this epistle, is all in the context of fellowship. It is having fellowship with God, keeping union with Him. It is also exposing and dealing about sin, our weaknesses, how that we keep short with God, that if we sin, then we come before His presence. We don't dally, we don't delay. We get our weaknesses, our faults covered by the blood of Jesus. It's continuing this fellowship with God for a purpose. Because without that fellowship, we do not draw from the cords of love, which is God Himself. Therefore, if you are not keeping in that fellowship and walking in that love, the word of God is not really doing you any good. And you may sit here, you may sit under a message like this for years, but unless you have really seen the key to this, which is the love of God, walking in that love, then this word really is not going to do you any good. And I don't care how much you know and how much you can quote the scriptures, and many can, unless you are fulfilling that basic principle, the key, the root to all of this, then the word is not really going to perfect us. And I want to show this. And John brings this out in 1 John chapter 2 verse 5, which we're looking at today, but he says here, but whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. And he goes on to say, he who abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. So it brings it into that practical, everyday walk as a Christian believer that we are to be in Christ. You see, the Gospels and the Epistles are in many ways so practical, in many ways so simple, and that's why so often religious man misses it. But looking at this, but whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. Now, you cannot keep his word unless you love God. You see, the love of God is the basis to this. He who abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected. So God's love in us reveals that we keep his word. But you can't keep his word unless you have the love of God, because you can't separate any of it, you see. And so the emphasis of this epistle is God's love, that light that we are to walk in. And this light that we walk in is the emphasis. Because if we walk in the light as he is light, then that will deal with sin. That deals with our confession. That deals with us keeping right before God. When your confession starts to falter, when you start to hear things coming out of your mouth that doesn't really line up with the word of God, that is a sign you are not walking in the light with God and in true fellowship. And you know what's causing that? Unconfessed sin. It gives itself away. And you know what? It works quicker than we realize. This isn't something we're talking about that happens over in a month or 6 months' time. It can happen within 6 hours. It can happen within 6 minutes. It can be that quick. That is the whole point. And this is what cleanses us and keeps us in this light that we are to walk. You see, John says if we don't love, then we don't know God. And that offends many people. That offends a lot of religious professing Christians who call themselves Christians, who go to church and do all the right things, and yet when it is exposed that they don't really love God because they're not walking in that light, because their confession isn't really right, they're not keeping close accounts with the Lord, this is what then starts to offend. There are no shortcuts to this, as the apostle clearly gives. I'm going to read this now from chapter 2. Which we all know very well from 1 John chapter 2, which he says, my children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. And I remind you of this term, to know, means an experiential knowing. It's not something that is abstract. It's not just something that's theological. It is actually a knowing. It is an experience. It's experiencing the forgiveness of sin in your life. And he says in verse 4, he who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar. And the truth is not in him. Now, we all of us at this point find it difficult because there are areas where we don't always keep his commandments, that we have fallen short. It seems nigh impossible to be able to keep his commandments. That is why we're to keep close accounts. That is why we're to confess. That is why we're to daily be in communion with God, so that we walk in this light. And if we walk in this light, which God is light, then we walk in that love. And it's not a love that you are trying to muster up. It's not a love that you're trying to work at. It's not a love that you're trying to bring about to keep unity and oneness in fellowship. Love should flow naturally. Love should be like a mother who naturally has it toward her child. The moment she has given birth to her child and that child is placed into her arms, that love automatically flows. The bonding is there. That should be the same with our walk with God and the new birth that we have. If you are trying to love, something is wrong with you. Now, I'm not saying that we will not be tested, but you are still drawing the source. It comes from that fountain, the God of love, and you walk in that light. Jesus had to walk exactly the same. He had to draw that from his Father. How would he ever have met the cross otherwise, as he did? And yet we tend to think it's so different for us. And verse 5 he says, but whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. That's the scripture we're talking about today. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. It's like we always say, we're not preaching anything new. That's exactly what John is saying here. There's nothing new what I'm saying. This commandment has been in force, been there ever since Adam and Eve fell. Nothing new. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. That is new, because Christ is risen. The new covenant. And now you can walk in that new light, and it's shining, and it'll shine into your life if you let him. But that light will always deal with sin, weakness, unbelief. That is the point. He who says he's in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Hate, unforgiveness, resentment causes stumbling. That is its nature. And we deceive ourselves when we harbour and hold unforgiveness, resentment. And they're the two things that at times, even as Christians, we have to grapple with. And the reason that we at times find ourselves so unforgiving is because we rather have such a high opinion of ourselves. It's a little bit beneath us. After all, it's really their fault. They did this to me, or this happened in my childhood, or whatever it would be. So, you know, I didn't instigate this. I didn't ask for this. One could even take this further. Well, you know, here we are, Christians today, confessing we're believers and everything. Well, who was really at fault? It wasn't us, it was Adam. Why should we take the blame for everything? One can adopt that attitude, and most of the world certainly do. And sadly, a lot of professing Christians do. It festers deep, deep down. It seems as though we are the victims for things that have gone wrong. You can look at it like that, and the enemy's very vocal. Or you can look at it in another way. We can look at ourselves as types of spiritual high priests. who are willing to sacrifice, who are willing to intercede, who are willing to stand in the gap, who are willing to forgive. Types of Christs with a small c. And when you begin to see that in that light, then this whole walk takes on a different meaning. And we begin to see things in a completely different light than what we experienced before. Jesus could have adopted that attitude. Well, why should I go to the cross? I'm sinless. I haven't done anything wrong. I have kept your commandments. I've done everything that you have revealed and shown me. And now I've got to take the flak. Take the punishment of man's guilt upon me. Did Christ grope and have it out with his father? Did he turn his back on his father? No, he didn't. Because he walked in the light. He walked in the love of his father. There was no separation in his fellowship. And this is what this is all about. This is what the Apostle John is getting to. In this great epistle, it's one of the great epistles, it's all about you walking in unbroken fellowship. And in order to do that, we have to deal with sin. Sin has to be mentioned. It has to be brought up. And he clearly does all of this. This apostle is very aware of the weakness of the flesh. He's very aware. He's elderly here. He's been walking with God for a long time. He knows what's going on. He's seen it all. Hence God was able to use him and inspire him and to write this wonderful, comforting epistle. But there are two ways of looking at this. You can see this as a source of comfort. You can see this, thank God this keeps me in fellowship with God. Or you can read this and come under terrific condemnation and think, well, nobody stands any chance. Because there are two ways of reading this. It depends what attitude you read this in. And so, whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. And of course, we know that this word perfect means to being perfected. It doesn't mean that we have already attained it. We are aiming toward it. It's this race that we are in. It's this idea that we are being changed from glory into glory. God is perfecting us until that perfection is seen, that unity, oneness is seen, and then God will take the body of Christ to himself, the bride who makes herself ready. I believe God is having to undo things in order to work that greater unity and oneness. If I were outwardly to look at the unity and oneness of the body of Christ, and even to this assembly, I would say that we're further away from it than we were 10 years ago, 15 years ago, outwardly. But I have a choice how I can look at this. Either you can look at this, as it says here, through the word of God, walking in that love, being perfected, or I can view and look at it through the carnal and religious mind. We are at this moment, in the natural, digging our heels in because we don't want to go any further, because self is getting in the way. I don't want to be hurt anymore. And that's really the excuse that some are making. But the question I raise is, why should you be hurt? What is causing that? What is telling you that? Where does this all come from? If we are new creations in Christ, it can only be instigated by the powers of darkness. It can only be the powers of darkness reminding you of the past, which you unfortunately are not prepared to let go and move on. Because the Bible tells us we're a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. When I find the past is looming up, or I find these things are going on, I go right back to the basics. I am a new creation in Christ. That is what the Word of God says. And I choose to believe that. And whatever's trying to plague me will, in sooner or later, lose its hold. Because the enemy tries to stop us from being perfected by the love of God and experiencing the love of God. Because if he can get you on that, then the Word of God isn't doing you any good. It's not really doing that work that it should. And you can quote it, you can study it, you can do all the outward things, but it isn't really doing the work. Unless we have settled, as the scripture tells us, to walk in the love of God, to walk in that light, and to allow the love of God and God's light to do that work, we are never going to really know the Word of God and what it's to do. Therefore, faith cannot come. And if faith is not really there, then your prayers are not really answered, and that would explain why things go on that they do. That will tell us, well, I was praying in faith, I thought it was faith, I was doing everything I know, but nothing happened, and I feel disappointed, down, angry, and everything. Well, it probably is the fact that you're just really not walking in the love of God. And it doesn't take long to show it. Maybe God will show us, you saw through the week someone who needed some help, and you could have given that practical help, but you chose to ignore it and walk away. You weren't walking in the love of God. Or that person just needed some time, you know, just to spend a bit of time with them and just listen to them, okay, whatever it would be, but no, you didn't have time, or you couldn't be bothered, you walked away. It's all about the love of God. I told you this walk is so practical. And we do it more than we realize. Or we have just not been right with our neighbor. We have not been right with our brother or sister in the body. We've been short. We cut them off or whatever. And you wonder why the word is not growing in your life, your heart. It's all there. It gives itself away. This is why our prayers are hindered and not answered. God is not going to let anyone off the hook where you hold resentment, anger towards one another, towards your parents, towards your brother, your sister, your aunt, whatever. He will not have it. You cannot walk in the light. You deceive yourself. And this is why we have confession here. And very often God brings us to the end of ourselves where we have to just raise our hands, Lord, I'm not willing to forgive. And that is my whole problem. And I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. There's nothing else I can do. You are the only one who has the words of eternal life. I am surrendering in your presence. I am desperate. Because only you can enlarge my heart over this situation. And if you have prayed that prayer, and some of us have prayed that prayer, and some of you are thinking, yeah, I've prayed that prayer, I've heard exactly what you said, Pastor, I've almost used the words that you've quoted, but I'm not seeing any change. Nothing's still changing, happening. I'll tell you what the problem is. You're not walking in that light. You're not walking as a result of what you have confessed. You're still waiting for that magical wand to come down and suddenly put it in your heart, enlarge your heart. Praise the Lord, I can now love that person. You love them as you step out of the boat like Peter did. You have to put your faith into action. And it's quite there. You don't have to look for it. You can do it. If you harbour resentment towards someone or whatever it is, then go round and visit them instead of ignoring them. That's a good way of starting. Very practical, very easy, and suddenly you'll find the atmosphere is broken. What was trying to cause it? If you've got aught against your brother or sister, pick up the phone. How are you? Breaks it immediately. It is so practical. It is so simple. And we wonder why we're not walking in the light. And our prayers are hindered. You see, God has determined that he's going to have true unity, oneness, fellowship in the assembly. And that's why I said outwardly it appears as though we're further away from it than we were 10, 15 years ago. However, there is something in our favour. We have grown up a lot more over those last 10, 15 years. And we can take comfort in that. Hallelujah. This is often how this walk is. This walk of faith is taking one step forward to find you take two back. Our walk of faith is every day standing on the brink of disaster in the midst of a miracle. It is. Hallelujah. Now, this verse, going back to it, verse 5, speaks about keeping his word. In other words, we hold on to it. We keep it. We keep it safe. We protect it. We preserve it. And this is where we get this idea of the church being custodians of the word of God, which of course was what God wanted to do through the children of Israel. But they failed their sonship. And so we have the word of God and we hold on to it. We preserve, we keep its purity when many have forsaken and left this. So this is the idea of keeping God's word. And that is only by God's grace and mercy. It's the same idea of sort of keeping the faith, which Timothy speaks of in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, which you know very well. But here again is the same principle in operation. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7, which he says, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Here again is this idea of keeping it, staying in this walk. He who endures to the end will be saved. Doesn't matter what the situation looks like. Doesn't matter what is being exposed. Just stay with it. Because God will perfect and complete that work which he has begun. Our problem is he doesn't do it in the way and the time that we want him to. Get rid of time and time scales. Get rid of dates. Get rid of looking at the clock. Get rid of trying to work it out. It can be this, it can be that. Just take it day, hourly with God. And he will work it out. Believe me. And it saves a lot of aggravation. A lot of stress and turmoil and disappointment. Also, this keeping God's word. Keeping it, preserving it. Is also very much connected in the unity of the Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 4 verses 1 to 3. In Ephesians chapter 4 verses 1 to 3. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. With all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love. Endeavouring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is no one body and there is one body and one Spirit, just as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So there is that true unity and oneness that Paul exhorts Christians to walk in. This can only be achieved as we hold on to this word. Because this word brings us into the love of God. This word, if we hold on to it, works with us, that we walk in the light of God. Because the word and God's love cannot be separated. All is vital and needed for us to walk in this covenant relationship with God. You can't separate any of it. So if we keep his word, his love is perfected in us. So it means maturity, completeness. That's what it actually means. When we speak of this love, it means that God's love is perfected. It's causing you to mature, to come to that place of completeness in him. And that's, of course, exactly where we can draw the analogy of the man-child. The man-child has to develop. That development means it comes to that completeness. It's complete as a human being. The same as you mothers who have given birth to a child, that child had to take 9 months to come to completeness as a human being, in that sense, to be able to survive and live in this world. That's why premature babies are much more vulnerable. But of course today they have these incubators where they can try and preserve and keep them. But many, many children who are born prematurely never survived. Why? Because they hadn't come to that full completeness. So here's the idea of this working spiritually within our lives. And so to keep his word, it also means that we have to abide in him as he in us. And so with that, we settle down and get on with it and stop griping and moaning. God knows what he's doing, and he's working this perfection, this unity and oneness in us. Because if we don't move forward with this, brothers and sisters, we are not going to experience Christ in these meetings. He is not going to fellowship, tabernacle with us if there's disunity. That is totally against him, his nature, the Godhead, everything he stands for, believes for, and above all, everything that Christ did and accomplished at Calvary. You are deluded if you think that. If you come with resentment, anger, unforgiveness to these meetings, you are deluded. You are deceived. How can you ever enter into any fellowship and unity in oneness? It's best to keep away until you get your heart right. It hinders the flow of the Spirit otherwise. This is why I'm convinced that God reduces down the body of Christ like it is. What is he actually doing? He's getting rid of demons that are warring against unity and fellowship. And where do those demons abide, reside? They are sadly in people. And many of them who profess and call themselves Christians. So it's little surprise that God reduces it down, just like he did with the army of Gideon. That principle is very often there. Many churches who are really going on with God, deep with God, you will see they're reduced considerably. Because it's all about God fellowshipping with his people. And he removes some temporarily, to preserve them from his presence, which would judge and destroy them otherwise. Because that's what's happening. So it shouldn't take us by surprise. This is why we hold on to the promises of God, which are yes and amen in Christ Jesus, because those promises cleanse us. Those promises bless us. That's why we hold on to them, because those promises are about the love of God, which we also walk in. The promises of God are motivated by God's love, by the light that we walk in. And when we have come to this place of God's love is so great, so infinite, that these promises will reach out to a dying world and we will see those greater works. We will see those people healed, touched and delivered, because it's the love of God that's so shed abroad in our hearts. We're not seeing it yet because we don't love. We're still too interested in self, how I feel, what's going on with me. We're still too interested building our own life, our own kingdom. It gives itself away. It's no mighty revelation. But the thing is, if we stay with it, God will do it. And that is our faith. That is the assurance. And that is why God's love is being perfected. Yes, it's taking nearly 40 years. But you know something? That isn't my problem. Really. It's not my problem. You know, Abraham had to see that. We might hinder, yeah, but it isn't our problem at the end of the day, because God knows what he's doing. God knows how long it takes. Yes, we're slow of hearing at times. Yes, we get it wrong. But that tells me that that's God's long-suffering, his patience towards us. And therefore I can rest in that, that it's not my problem. Hallelujah. This love that we're talking about, that I bring now to a conclusion, this love is unconditional. It is accepting the terms, which includes our enemies also. They are the terms. Now you either want that or you don't. And even God will give us the grace in which to endure that. Because God's love embraces even our enemies. We'll never see the greater works otherwise. If you've got a problem with that, you'll never see the greater works, because you won't see people healed otherwise, because a lot of people that are healed, a lot of people that Jesus healed, were his enemies. No bones about it. Or there were some that turned, of course they did. But there are others that didn't. I'm reminded of the lepers that were healed. Only one turned back, and thank God. That's the nature of man. That is the nature of God, to love, to give, and yes, to even embrace our enemies. Embrace those that are not will not turn back and praise and thank God. Some will do that. Some will think they're healed, set free to go on and enjoy living in sin, because that's the motive of their heart. They want to be healed to enjoy sin. But those who are truly healed are healed in order to turn away from sinning. That is the point. I believe to reject the gospel, reject the word of God, is expressing our anger and resentment against him. And sadly, this does go on. We are all at times tempted with that, when we just feel we're tried to the last level, when it all seems to be just going wrong. It is so easy to get ourselves in the way. Well, I have done this for you. I have sacrificed this for you. I have come regularly for years, consecrated that time for meetings and everything, and I could have been doing other things, building my life and having a good time. It's easy to feel resentful. It's easy to feel like that when you look at the world out there and how some are succeeding and getting on, and you have given up all that time for God. But I'm reminded that nobody gives up anything for God, really. It's all God's mercy and grace. So there we are, brothers and sisters. That is the word, I believe today, that God would have us hear. We're only going to be perfected in our faith. The word is only ever going to do its work when we are walking in the light of God's love. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. You are merciful and gracious. We thank you, Father, that this is impossible. But all you've ever asked from us is a will. All you've ever asked for us is not to doubt you, but that you, the Master Builder, can and will do it in and through us. But Lord, let us not deceive ourselves because we sit here and we listen to the word of God that we're on a safe passage home to glory. We're not. This word, as we have heard this morning, will only do its work if we walk in the love of God and in the light of God. Otherwise, we are not hearing the word. We may know it inside out, upside down. But the word does nothing unless the word is producing the love of God and what we walk in the love of God, which the word of God needs. And that is where true faith comes. It comes by hearing what the Spirit is saying. And none of this can be separated as you have revealed today. Forgive us, Father, of our shortcomings. Forgive us, Lord, that our hearts still are not enlarged as they should be, not enough to embrace and love our enemies. We're still justifying. We're still looking for excuses. We're still consumed in our own lusts and what we want and our own life. We're still neglecting the building of the body of Christ. And Father, forgive us that this has taken longer than we realize. And it's taking all this length of time because it's telling us something. It's telling us the state that society, religious man, has fallen into. The depth, the falling away. How it's taking this time to restore and to bring us back into true unity and fellowship with you and each other. The building again of the body of Christ. These tell us something, Father. And so, Lord, we thank you today for this message. We all need to hear it. And we can only appeal to your grace and mercy that we will not only be hearers but doers of this word. For we ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen, amen.
Rushes onward, ever growing. Jesus is.